You are right up May Street.
Oh, you can't make me choose.
I go by Toyota. Sponsors T4.
Fuck me, Lee Ryan's 13.
Marlene. I remember we couldn't remember the word for table.
This is Your Welcome America presents The Passions of Girls Aloud, Episode 2. In the lead up to the 2024 Girls Aloud reunion tour, we are rewatching a relic of 2000s TV from our beloved girl group. Coming up in Episode 2, is the rock chick herself, Sarah.
I'm Ben.
I'm Fraser.
Fraser Light Razor.
And this is The Passions of Girls Aloud.
After 5 years of producing hit after hit, Cheryl, Sarah, Kimberly and Nicola have managed to take time out from recording and touring to follow their passion.
Well.
Prepare yourself to watch an episode of Polo?
Have you ever wanted to watch people ride horses from really far away in SD quality? And this is the episode for you.
Will Sarah be able to get a grip of her secret desire? Learning to play professional polo. Her secret desire. Shh, don't tell anyone.
I feel the need to repeat myself about how the titles are for sure left over from the kind of tour DVD for the Tangled Up tour, because it's nuts. Also, we get another piece of evidence later in the episode that this is around the time they're filming Call the Shots. Well, we'll get to that. Don't you worry.
Oh, is it her hair?
Yeah.
So Sarah has her childhood dream of playing polo. What?
Yeah, and they call her the lovable party girl of the group.
She sure is.
How did you feel watching this? I felt such a mixture of happiness and sadness.
I felt pretty happy because that was my ice machine in the background there. Don't know if you heard that. I felt pretty happy. That was actually the ghost of Sarah making us a drink. I felt pretty happy watching this because it reminded me how open she was.
Yes.
And how she'd meet somebody like, hi, babe. And instantly that person be her best friend.
Yeah.
And she's good and she's having a great time.
Yeah.
And God, she's beautiful.
Yeah. She was a lot more comfortable to watch than Chez's episode last week. Although I did say to myself at the beginning of this episode, I think that as far as the kind of pitch for the dreams, for the passions, like activities, she has one of the more unexpected ones, one of the more interesting ones. On paper, the others all kind of follow her. I think Nicholas is really interesting as well, but like Cheryl's and Kimberly's are, it's like, oh, you're in a girl band where you dance, you want to be a dancer, oh, you want to be a singer and you're also a singer. It's kind of very adjacent, but I think Nicola and Sarah's were a lot more interesting.
Well, yeah, I can imagine Sarah being like to Hilary Shaw, being like, I want to play polo. Yeah, she's like, you sure, darling? You sure you want to get on a horse?
I mean, although, again, after all these shots of polo from far away, I'm getting really nervous about watching Nicola leaf through some different swatches for Dainty Doll. Let me get to that.
I'm getting nervous for her just like trying testers in the back of her hand,
endlessly swatching different pale concealers. Oh well.
What, holding up swatches to her face? Yes. So in 2 weeks, Sarah's going to go from novice to playing a polo match in Argentina?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? We should say at this point, well, we find out from Cousin Gina. Cousin Gina and Sarah used to ride horses at weekends and after school. So Sarah can ride.
Yes. And we get some childhood kind of camcorder footage of her riding a horse as well.
Yeah.
How many times in this episode do you want me to talk about my horse riding past?
Oh, you go for it. You've got to bring it up now.
Well, I'll get it out of the way. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, yes. No, I never did any kind of professional horse ridery, but I used to, I can't remember how young I was, up until I was about maybe 13, 14, I used to take horse riding lessons and like jumping lessons. And I also used to ride horses with two of my friends that had their own horses. And I would go on hacks. Yeah, and I would go and make that noise to the horses all the time. And I'll tell you just a quick story, a real gender dysphoria story from my childhood. At one point, I remember coming out of a horse riding lesson and it must have been my incredibly high-pitched voice that didn't match my masculine frame aged, I don't know, 10. Uh-huh. And this other, like, mum, she was like, well, no, you've got to wait until that little girl gets off the horse. And I was like, me? Curvaceous little me? And, you know, and I took my helmet off and threw out my short tresses. I think she thought I was kind of an edgy mixed-race girl with short hair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which at the time I was very offended by. Now I think it's great.
Well, you know, this is similar to my story of how I fell on the start of a ski lift in ski school. And because I was wearing a full pink ski suit, they radioed up the mountain. Oh, we've got a little girl who's fallen. I was like, I'm a boy.
Oh, good. Well, we both got misgendered as children. Yeah. Doing our childhood activities. Would yours be like, Ben becomes a downhill slalom skier?
This is a good question. What are our passions? I would just want to go on a nice ski trip, so that doesn't really... I don't want to go...
Like, my passion's going on nice beach holidays.
going to a nice restaurant for a lovely meal.
When I was younger, I used to like dancing. I probably would have wanted to do what Cheryl did, yeah. But that feels a bit lame in the face of it already existing.
Could I go to space?
Yes, you would become an astronaut.
Okay, cool. Absolutely. My passion is go to space.
Okay.
That's cool.
Let me think on mine.
Also, we do need to, at this point, well, I need to say that you know that my first pet as a child was a pony.
What was it called?
Gobo. A Shetland pony.
Do it.
Gobo!
Oh, there we go.
We had Victoria, and Victoria gave birth to Gobo.
Oh, lovely.
The foal.
Oh, a Shetland pony foal. Foal. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Did you ride it?
I did, but then I wasn't very interested.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, who are we going to meet? Marie?
Tell you what, Sarah's mum is dead posh.
She's a right old posho. She's in her furry gilet.
Yeah.
She's in real swathed in different shades of cream, isn't she? Mm-hmm. With a nice gold necklace, Marie. And she says, oh, you know, I'm expecting to see a mad woman on that pitch.
Mm.
And I thought, yes.
Now, talking of not being posh, we then get Cheryl saying, I'm getting quite nervous in case she gets buckaroo. She's like, sure. Just the reference to the buckaroo game comes a lot in this episode.
Yeah, and I started to notice a trend, which we'll get to, you know, sponsored by the Fratellis, that I said, oh, we're really going to go all out with the rock chick music in this episode,
oh, yeah,
aren't we? And then we meet Tarquin.
Tarquin.
We meet Tarquin, her polo instructor.
And he describes polo as, well, it's a sport trying to play sort of, you know, golf on a horse, if you like. If you like.
Tarquin's really given us nothing. Energetically. He's giving us the flattest voice you've ever heard.
Do you think Tarquin wanted to have sex with Sarah?
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
I think everyone did, because she's a fucking vivacious, gorgeous light. Anyway.
Should we go shopping with Kim?
I'll tell you what. Grab yourself a Lucozade. Pop on Amory. Take control.
Hey!
Arguably one of the more rock chick pop songs of the time.
Sarah was out last night for her boyfriend's birthday. Thanks, Matt Horn, and the voiceover.
Yeah, we get a lovely shot of Sarah in the back of an Addison Lee clutching a full sugar Lucozade.
Oh, yummy.
Just kind of going, oh, I'm feeling a bit worse for wear, actually. I wonder where she'd been. China Whites?
Mahiki.
Yeah,
she's gone for a treasure chest. Well, her boyfriend at this time is DJ Tom Crane.
Yes. Yes.
What happened with him?
They split up, but I read that because I looked him up, and she said in her book that she wrote before she passed away that she was, that one of her biggest regrets was breaking up with him.
Oh.
Because they were like, I think they were engaged.
They lived in the country for a while.
Yeah.
And they had an aga. I remember that.
Yeah. And we get two great things mentioned here. First of all, Sarah just talks about always being half an hour late, and she just goes, that's London, though. No, it's not, but sure, I'm going to give you that.
And then we've got...
What does Kimberly call her?
Kim patiently waiting at some sort of polo outfitters. She's like, and she says that Sarah is known as half-hour Harding. And that's being kind, to be honest.
I know, there's some great, like, lots of very long shots of just Kimberly flicking through, like, a polo magazine waiting at that shop.
Oh my God, imagine being the producer with, like, so I'm with Kim at the moment. Another producer calling, be like, yeah, Sarah hasn't even gotten the car yet. I've had to go out and get her a Lucozade.
Oh, God. Oh, Kim, so do you want a coffee or something? No, I'm all right. I'll just look at this polo magazine.
Kim, I've actually got some petty cash. I could go get you a quick Costa or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'll just have a cappuccino.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a vanilla latte.
Well, should we do some shopping to yet another wild song?
What's the song?
Do 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 do.
What song is this?
I don't need no TV. I don't need no books. Scabba do ba 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 do ha ba 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 do. Do your thing.
But Basement Jacks.
Yeah. How many people do you know that did a kind of a 1920s, 1940s Charleston to Do Your Thing in a club when they were drunk?
Oh my god.
Including, I know I did at some point.
Although, how good is the Basement Jacks song Red Alert?
Oh, Red Alert's a great song.
Red Alert, yeah, Red Alert, yeah, is a catastrophe.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, that's their, one of their better songs, definitely. Mm. I would say Do Your Thing is a real time capsule for me. I remember that greatest hits CD cover that my friends had in their kitchen at university.
Oh my god. Basement fucking Jacks. Okay, so what's she trying on? They're shopping. She's trying on some white jeans and a color polo shirt.
Yeah.
Sure.
All I know is that they use every opportunity of Kimberly pronouncing it polo.
Polo.
She's like, oh, she's going to play polo.
Kim says, Sarah's always been very passionate about horses. It's a bit of a different world. But if the champagne's flowing, she's going to be fine.
I didn't write down what Cheryl was saying because I was so distracted by she's standing in front of these photo frames that look like they're empty. But then I looked on closer inspection and realized they were filled with just very subtle art.
Oh, lovely.
I think she was definitely in a hotel lobby at that point.
Beautiful.
Polo.
Polo.
Well, let's leave Tommy Crane behind in London. He's wearing a flat cap.
Yes. Should we go to Warwickshire?
Why did my notes say Maria's so posh? Good for her to get out of London. Oh, I see. There was an interview with Marie and she's saying, well, yeah, it's good for her to get out of London, get some fresh air and feel the sunshine.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm becoming more Joanna Lumley as I'm heading to Leamington Spa.
It's also...
Tell you what, darling, should we head to Leamington Spa?
Yeah, fantastic trip to Leamington Spa.
Wonderful.
Get a little... She is holding a Costa coffee cup.
Have a little Costa coffee on the way to Leamington Spa, darling.
And the music that's playing is...
And we got our first wicked of the episode from Sarah. She looks out the window, she goes, it's going to be wicked.
Wicked. So they go to the Royal Leamington Spa Polo Club. And we meet Tarquin Southwell, who's trained the likes of Jodie Kidd. Jodie Kidd.
Jodie
Kidd.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So then the riding starts and Tarquin meets Sarah and Tarquin greets her by going, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
And then does like a double kiss.
We needed someone way more magnetic for Sarah to bounce off of. This was like, yeah.
Although,
She doesn't need anyone,
that's
know.
That's the thing.
But I would have been thrilled to see like some kind of super hunky, like flirty polo player, like a sexy polo player would be really fun.
Or a really fun lesbian.
Yes.
Really fun horsey lesbian. Yes. The two of them could have been real thick as thieves.
Exactly.
Where is this hat, this riding hat with this strange visor in the front? Riding hats don't look like that, do they?
I think so, yeah.
Do they?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because you would get it back in my day. It was, you'd have the skull cap and then you'd buy the silks to go on top of it. And that has the brim on it. But this appeared to be an all-in-one, just plastic one with the brim on it. But I guess maybe it's for, because I think polo, they had to put like visors on their face. So I think it was fitted for that. But yeah, for my horse riding days, it was kind of skull cap. And then you could remove the silks and change the design of your hat by putting different silks on the top. Should I say silks again?
Silks.
Do you also know it's funny that to me, there's a time in my life that I own jodhpurs and a whip. Just in my life. Mom, where are my jumpers? I need my whip and my riding boots. My riding boots were always not the right size and too uncomfortable for me. Because you know, even when I was underdeveloped, I still had these big old clown feet.
Did Laura ever like threaten you with the whip? The horse whip?
No, she never did actually. I just know there was lots of me trying to look for those boots and whip and me being late for another horse riding lesson.
You can't run up on a horse.
No, you really can't.
I don't want to spook it. It'll kick you in the face.
You really got to calmly get on a horse. I'll tell you that much.
So Sarah gets on a wooden horse and practices her swing. And then I've just written, what are we watching?
Well, we swing into our first Fratelli song of the episode. This is the Fratelli song Henrietta.
Oh, I couldn't remember. I just wrote hokey cokey music.
Yeah, so we got the Fratelli's Henrietta. And I thought to myself, let me look at their YouTube. So I went on and I looked. That song, Chelsea Dagger, has 48 million views on YouTube. And then I was looking through the comments and I really liked this one, even though it is about someone passing away. I'll always associate this song with my mum. She made this her ring back song, so it played every time I called her. I listened to this song every once in a while to remember her for a bit.
Oh.
So I like the idea of this rock and roll mum. Like, I'm just need to call mum.
Chelsea.
And just imagine being like waiting for your mum because she's probably not got her phone like on her.
Of course.
Just hearing that over and over again. And this is where it really dawned on me. Polo's really boring to watch.
So boring. Because none of us, I mean, the ITV2 audience, and I heavily mean us, we're not going to know what's going on.
No.
You just have to hit a ball.
Yeah, it's I think the producers at this point were like, ooh.
Oh, shit. Like, so then she meets her horse. It's called
Lunatica.
Lunatica, which is pretty fun. Imagine essentially being told, the horse you're going to be riding is called Lunatic.
Yeah, and we get kind of just some, like, training montage set to Girl Overboard.
Well, we'll get to it when we do our episode of the podcast where we're going to do predictions for the Girls Led Tour. But I do want a heavy, if they perform that, I do want a heavy cruise theme where one of the girls falls over.
Well, Nadine has to be the cruise director. Welcome aboard, Girls Alive Crazes. I'm your cruise director, Nadine. Oh, I've fallen overboard. Girl Overboard.
And then
you got them dancing with like life rings, life preservers.
No doubt about it. I've written here, talking of overboard, I think I'm bored. Sarah wants a gin.
She does. And she makes a lovely joke where he says, how are you feeling afterwards? And she says, about 90.
I don't get that.
Like 90 years old.
Oh, I thought Sarah. She meant 90 out of 100. I was very confused at that.
Or should we get in the coronas at the clubhouse?
After a testing first day, Sarah and Tarquin head back to the clubhouse for a well-earned drink. And I thought they should bring back Girl Overboard.
That would have been good if they'd cut to a montage of Sarah just like drinking
doing shots.
1,000 beers and like dancing on the bar while the rest of the Leamington Spa Club looked on in horror.
Way.
We then get a very strange little montage set to Sade's Smooth Operator, and it's her in bed reading Jilly Cooper's Polo, where they're trying to insinuate that Tarquin is attractive.
Well, but Tarquin is attractive.
Yes.
Sarah's talking about Tarquin being a smooth operator, and he's passionate about what he does.
Have you ever read a Jilly Cooper novel?
No, you like them, don't you?
I do. I have a real affinity for them. A friend of mine, one of the ones I used to do horse riding with, she had all of them. And I read them when I was just a little bit too young.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of like me being excited about reading about sex. And then there was, because they follow, a lot of them follow like the same characters or some tertiary characters suddenly spin off into like a new thing. Mm-hmm. And I got all the way to the point where I read one about opera and it had the son of like one of the characters from like Riders or Polo right from the beginning. He was finally grown up and he has like, and he's gay. And basically of all of the sex in all the books, you don't hear about any of that sex, but you hear about him kissing someone. And I was like thrilled. Yeah, I was like, I don't recommend reading them, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I've just written here that she should really have a bath. Do you not think after a day of playing polo, how much, and you're in a light, nice hotel.
Yeah, with a Jilly Cooper.
Have a bath.
That's what it's made for.
Do you know what would have helped? Her sore wrist. Let's get to day two.
Day two.
Only on day two of a 3-week leading up to a polo match in Argentina.
I definitely started getting a bit more erratic with my notes here. I just have the word chuckers written in capital letters.
I've written here, she's got a sore wrist. Tarquin says the wrist is a concern. And I've written in brackets, her wrist is fine.
And we get, at this point, Sarah then takes a break to watch Tarquin play in a local cup. And we get our first of two incidents of the song Hung Up by Madonna playing, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah. Matthew Horan on voiceover does a very boring description of how the game works.
Yeah. She's learning how to ride off, which is pushing another horse off the ball.
Well, when she's doing that, they're playing Sexy No No No. So then, essentially, all we need to know is it's about hitting a ball in a goal.
And her wrist hurts.
I've written here, she's so beautiful. And then I've written, what is this song? Is it Maximu Park? Is it Block Party? What is this?
Oh, I wrote down more fucking 2000s indie music.
Yeah.
I couldn't
place it.
I gave up on, after I researched so heavily into the Fratellis, like, I ran out of...
Right. The next morning, day three, I guess. So this is 2-on-2. I don't know what that means.
No.
I've written here, imagine the camera operators filming this. Like the producers and the crew being like, we know nothing about polo.
Should we just film Sarah? I guess we just film Sarah.
I think we had the exact same thought. The producers. Wow. We've got a lot of shots of her riding a horse, haven't we?
Ask her that question about the gin. Oh, we asked her that yesterday.
Ooh.
Shit, she had the coronas. Yeah. She had them in the clubhouse of Tarquin.
Oh, don't worry. At least we can get her sightseeing in Buenos Aires later.
Have you got tickets for that soccer game? She's going to go. Okay, we'll get to that. Hang on. I would like a Spotify playlist just of this episode.
Okay. I'll do it.
Okay.
Dave, her brother Dave arrives. She's going too fast.
So brother Dave arrives in a Suzuki to check in on her progress. I've written here, Dave has transition glasses.
Yeah.
And he's wearing some sort of choker necklace that he clearly bought in Thailand.
He looks like the nicest IT technician that just got back from Thailand.
Yes.
He seems lovely.
She says, it's wicked, isn't it?
Yeah. Then we get a... quite the phone call. She decides to get on the old horn, the old Matthew horn, or the old blower to Chez.
Cheryl's in a car.
And with her, like, call the shots hair.
And Cheryl's like, how's it going? And Sarah just says, it's wicked, babes.
Wicked, babes.
And Cheryl says, what's your horse called? I'm worried you're going to get buckarooed.
Yeah, and at one point, Cheryl, like, much like Jim in The Office, she just looks into the camera and she goes, God almighty.
and the call ends with Cheryl going, ta-ra, babe. Oh,
well, so you know
good.
What song took us out of this scene?
Fratelli's?
Chelsea fucking Daggett. Yeah. Nah, nah, nah. Fratelli's got paid for this episode.
Sarah says that she doesn't do relaxing. No. I've written here that she's wearing a lot of foundation.
Well, don't forget that we do hear from the Leamington Spa Polo Club Club Secretary Jan Wood at this point. Jan Wood says, do you know what? We're really worried about a pop star coming in, but she's really fitting in. She's really nice. She's lovely. We love her.
That's so nice. Right, should we have an end of season party? Because it's her last night in Leamington Spa.
Sarah's getting ready for her last night in Leamington Spa, as well as the Polo Club's end of season party.
Oof.
Now, this was one of the more thrilling scenes.
I've written here.
Seeing her getting into glam.
Seeing her get ready. She's very good at doing her own makeup.
Yeah, really good.
And I've just written, she's going to be so hot compared to everyone else at the party.
I know, I was very worried about some of these frumpy, dumpy, horsey types.
Yeah.
And she's at this point, she says, oh, I forgot my earrings. And then we get possibly my favorite moment of the episode, where she runs to like a makeup bag and finds a rogue pair of skull crystal earrings.
Yeah. Oh, she's so good.
She's so cool.
So let's get down to that party. There's finger food being passed out. Overhead lights.
Yeah, the brightest light you've ever seen bouncing off the skin of the whitest people you've ever seen in your life.
Lots of women with very horsey teeth.
Pashminas. I definitely saw a few what we called quiffs back in the day. Remember that style of straight down, but get that middle really poofed up.
And then you put like some clips in and you put it into like a ponytail.
It's odd because the poofiness... to me, here in America, feels very like Snooki and Jersey Shore, but there definitely was a very horsey, posh girl version of the poofy hair in the 2000s, wasn't there?
So
she seems like she's a real hit at the Leamington Spa Polo Club.
Which has got a glass of champers. She's so hot. And it's been great.
Yeah.
And then she leaves, and in that Addison Lee back to the city, she definitely went out that night.
Oh, yeah.
She definitely...
she's going to waste that hair and makeup job on a night in Leamington Spa.
She found those earrings.
How far is Leamington Spa from London?
Oh, my God. Who knows?
It's they said it's Warwickshire, right?
I don't know. Is that far? But Sarah, in the back of the Addy Lee, she's getting really emotional.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Sarah, you've been there 3 days. And it's like she's graduating from, I don't know, a 10-year course.
Yeah, that's her style though. She's very in the moment, isn't she? She feels it with every feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know what? In a real true curveball, we're going to go to Argentina. And I thought to myself, poor Kim and Nicola aren't going to be going anywhere for their days, are they? Cheryl got to go to LA. She's going to go to Argentina. I feel like maybe they could fly Kimberly to New York, maybe. Where are they going to send Nicola to?
Well, interesting enough, now if they were doing it, they would fly her to like South Korea.
Yes, like 100%, or like to Japan.
Where are they going
to
go now? Ooh. Boots?
Nicola's going to the Boots HQ in
Maidenhead.
Yeah, I was about to say Milton Keynes.
Yes.
You're so Maidenhead. You're so right.
Oh, it would be great though if she got to go to like
the factory in China
yeah.
to see it being made, but then they had to like not use any of the shots because it was so grim. Okay, so let's go to a ranch north of Buenos Aires. Yeah. Sure.
And we'll meet Mateus Ballesterios. And I did find a picture of him. In fact, I found a picture of what he looks like now. And he looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, right, okay. Have they met before? Because she gets out of the car from the airport. She's like, hi, babe. And she's like, kisses him.
I think that's just our Sarah. Aww. I just sent you a text with what he looks like now. He looks lovely.
Oh, I mean, yeah. He's very horsey.
Mm. They make her play polo after an 18-hour flight to one of my favorite Cardigan songs.
Stupid girl.
My favorite game.
My favorite game.
Bow, bow, now. I'm losing my favorite game.
Sarah says, oh, give me a few vinos first.
Yeah.
Bet she had a few vinos in that flight.
Oh, yeah. She's looking a bit worse for wear on arrival.
She's a little croaky voice. I mean, it was an 18-hour flight. Yeah. I've just written here, there's so much horse in this episode. Yeah.
Well, she gets to end the day having a red wine by the fire, so that
she
made me
happy.
She does,
red wine. She says the word rustic twice.
Yeah, nice Argentinian red by the rustic fire.
So rustic, just dead rustic.
Oh, God, we're flying through this episode.
Okay.
At this point, we were barely even in LA for Cheryl.
Yeah, so I've written at this point, 4 days. Are we going to have to watch more horse stuff?
Yeah. Match conditions. She's getting frustrated.
Wait, this is the time off, though.
No. She has to play under match conditions to start with.
Oh, I didn't make
that. And she starts getting frustrated, yada, yada. But then I did like this one line from her that I thought was really interesting, where she's basically saying like, oh yeah, we've been like nonstop going for 5 years and I'm actually having like a break. And even though she's learning polo, I think that she weirdly is truly having like a break from, it's interesting just seeing her having a break from being in Girls Aloud.
Yeah, and also like she's on a rustic farm.
Yeah, like she's got the most kind of weirdly relaxing one, even though it's tough.
Yeah.
Let's go sightseeing. Set to that weird samba. Dinero.
So she goes to a soccer game, a football game, whatever.
Who's she with?
Who the fuck is she with? What's she watching? Where is she? What is going on? But she's like, well, actually, the thing is, the polo field's a lot bigger than a football field, and it's a lot faster than football.
But yeah, who is she with?
We now do a practice match, don't we?
Yeah. She's in her first full-scale game with the best players from the area. And Wussy Flaps has the idea to not tell her that they're all the best players and then they're not going to go hard just to see if she can keep up. Mm-hmm. And that backfires.
It's just going so quick.
Lots of faraway shots of her missing the ball is what I wrote down.
Yeah. Then is it Kraftwerk? Is it a Kraftwerk song that then plays?
I didn't make a note of that. I think I exited my body at this point.
Sarah's biggest fear at this point is being in an accident. And then I've just written, oh, she does wang on a bit, doesn't she? But she ends the day wearing a metallic headscarf.
I have a note that just says second chucker. It's not getting any slower. I don't understand anything. Well,
isn't
that I
like
wrote.
Each part of a match called a chucker?
They're like the portions of a match.
Yeah.
It's how football matches are divided up, right? First portions. Portion, second portion.
Yeah, slice.
Yeah.
Slice of the game.
A little slice of a chucker.
Oh, right. It's match day. Wait a minute.
Bloody hell. We're in South Bloody America.
Oh, just my luck. It's pouring with rain.
It's just our luck, isn't it? How you doing, babe?
That is Sarah greeting that polo guy
a towel on her head. She's got a head turban on and she goes, how you doing, babe?
How you doing, babe?
She's got a cup of coffee.
Right, babe. At this point, he informs us that it's going to take 2 or 3 days to clear this. Well, not only the rain, but the water and the pitch.
Yeah, we're not going to get our big Argentinian polo match with Sarah, which is a disappointment.
It's a disappointment. She's also really liked waking up in the morning and hearing the horses neighing.
Yeah. She does kind of a monologue about her childhood and how this has taken her back there. And there's just this really lovely shot of her at this huge table with all the people that work on that ranch. And they're all just like passing food down and she's like laughing her head off.
Aww.
I just thought, she seems so happy.
You could put her in any situation, she'd just get on with it, wouldn't she?
And I had a very hopeful thought. is this the end of the episode?
Yeah, right, because I wrote here, what's going to happen next? Because we had this emotional moment. She says that riding growing up was a real leveler for yes. her, and then she cries.
Yeah, because she's kind of feeling like, yeah, yet again, she's being leveled out by doing something that she loves.
No, it's not the end. Let's go.
Woo! Ding, 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 ding. Of course we got fucking song two.
Let's go back to England and we'll go to a match in Sussex with Tarkin.
What was that? What was the fake producer that we made up last week? Was it Claire? Claire had a much easier job getting these ones together. These were all her songs that she used to listen to in uni.
But Claire also had to call up Tarkin and be like, hey, Tarquin, do you mind if we actually come? It didn't work out in Argentina.
Oh, this was definitely Claire's easiest episode to edit, though. This was her world. I bet she had a pashmina or two.
What, music-wise?
That's what I'm saying. Music-wise, horsey-wise, Claire knew all of this stuff like the back of her white little hand.
She probably introduced them to Tarquin. Yeah. She probably set up the whole thing. Tarkin is wearing Oakleys.
Yeah, and I've written the notes. Now she's playing against international players at some kind of blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm.
There's a Girls Aloud song playing. I'm like, what Girls Aloud song is this? And Sarah's crying to someone holding a chihuahua.
There's actually two mystery women holding two mystery chihuahuas
in this episode. This is mystery woman number one with mystery chihuahua number one. I wrote, is this the sound person? I feel like the sound person, the mic person's gone over at the end of the day to take Sarah's mic off her and is holding a chihuahua. And Sarah's crying and like giving her heart away to this woman.
I feel like the chihuahuas could have been Sarah's and that she'd bought them to like the shoots maybe. And they were just, yeah, like that was a crew member just holding that chihuahua while she was filming.
That's so cute. Do you not think her chihuahuas, if she had two chihuahuas, they'd be called Rock and Roll?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And then Tarquin does one of the worst pep talks in the most flat British way possible. He's like, okay, so, you know, the thing is, you know what to do, so you're going to do it, so everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Tarquin. I'm so inspired.
Yeah, thanks for really building it up for us. Should we get to the bloody match day?
Well, we get a brief shot of her eating breakfast with what appears to be maybe the sound woman. Just like chatting animatedly to some like redhead woman that we never get introduced to.
Aww.
And then, yeah, on the way to this polo match, it's like they've installed the Spock fringe for the Call the Shots video. Because she's never had it this whole time, but it looks like it's been like, they're like, install Spock wig now.
Implementing Spock fringe. Spock fringe complete.
So I like to just imagine her finishing this episode and then them jetting off to where did they film Call the Shots?
In LA. I've worked it out.
Go on.
So that was the haircut was booked, right?
Yeah,
we'll book it for after
Argentina.
You're
right,
and you'll have a new look for the video.
Yeah,
but then it was already booked. She had to get it done.
But then she's like, well, I'm wearing a helmet anyway, so it's gonna look exactly like the hair.
Exactly. Okay, so match day once again. Her mum is so posh.
Yeah, she asks, is it girls versus boys?
Sarah's like, Mom, no, it's not pop stars. And this is where the mum says, I'm expecting to see a mad woman out there on the pitch. Meanwhile, Cheryl and Kim aren't expecting anything.
those two have rocked up in buggy sunglasses and plenty of scarves. You know what? I'll just be impressed if she can ride and hold the stick.
I hope she doesn't get buckaroos. Cheryl, it's not a game. It's not that plastic game from Hasbro. Meanwhile, Blue Monday starts playing.
Ding, 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 ding.
And then who's this blonde babe walking beside Tarquin and Sarah?
Not a clue.
Long-haired blonde babe.
She's probably got a chihuahua behind her back.
Is it Jodie Kidd? Hang on.
It's Jilly Cooper.
So at this point, Sarah... Did you make a note of what Sarah says about sabotaging the other team?
Yes. She says, we're going to put sleeping pills in the horse feed.
Yeah.
Lovely. That's also a real riders or polo plot, that one is. That's
excellent. Tarquin hands her the polo stick, the polo bat, I don't know. And she goes, thank you, babe.
Yeah, and then we're meant to be super impressed that someone called Jamie Morrison is going to be playing. It's not James Morrison, the singer, so, well, I'm not interested in that either.
James Morrison, well, what did he sing again? Broken. I would have been a broken strings.
I don't remember how... Was that with Nelly Furtado?
Yes.
Popular. This is how I found out about Chelsea Dagger having... Oh my God, Broken Strings has 118 million views.
Yeah.
Oof, that song is... Hurts. That song is the epitome of the bland kind of indie folk singer-songwriter music of our youth, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about Newton Faulkner last week.
We did. changed from Newton Faulkner to James Morrison.
This song has a distinct, I have a distinct memory of this song. And this must have been 2009 because I did a brief bit of work in Comic Relief. And my job that was just to like look after some of the guests. So I was looking after Davina. And we were watching, we standing there watching this song together. And she's like, oh, it's a good song. I was like, yeah, it's a bit of a guilty pleasure, isn't it? She's like, it's not, I don't feel guilty.
Oh, shit. You got shamed by Davina McCall.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, right. She's really nervous and we're going to watch a whole lot of long distance SD shots. Where's Hilary Shaw?
Is she there?
No. Couldn't bloody see her.
But there is a white chihuahua watching in her place.
Do you think this was too mucky for her? Oh, no, I can't come to that, darling. It's a little too mucky.
But I feel like she was wearing those big leather boots in the last episode, the LA episode. But you know, you're right. She's more LA, Greece, with a Bluetooth headset.
Exactly.
Or North London.
Yes, exactly.
So I've written here, I've no clue what I'm watching, but we are listening to Apply Some Pressure by Maximo Park.
Kim and Cheryl also have no idea what's going on. And we hear Hung Up by Madonna again.
Cheryl is whooping and she's saying, you look so cute in your little hat. And Kim's like, Sarah, you all right?
Sarah makes a joke about her having a purple helmet. Penis joke. Love it.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
Cheryl says, you have to really work the ball. She's fantastic. I'm so happy for her.
I was very proud when Sarah scored a penalty.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, that was good.
I've written here, Nadine would hate being here and being near the horses.
Yeah, she would definitely do like a, oh!
Yeah, and she'd spook the horses. And she and the horse would be spooked in the same way.
Yes, the same hair.
Same hair.
What did she say in the Girls Loud After Record? Fucking hell!
Fucking hell!
When someone, fucking horse just tried to bite me?
When someone's holding a koala.
Oh, I like the idea that she's standing there and someone just starts brushing her hair thinking she's a horse. She's like, I'm not a fucking horse. That's my real hair you're brushing.
Actually, do a nice plait. Now, we get a bit of drama here, don't we?
We get some real drama alarms here.
Sarah, she's... Now, to be fair, we're in the third crack it, wicket, hat, chopper, chacker, chucker. Chuck, what's it?
Chucker.
Chucker.
Chutney.
She's tired, and she kind of does a slow fall off the horse, and Matt Horn or someone else says that when you lean forward on a horse, it goes faster.
Yes.
So she's doing a slow fall, she leans forward, so the horse is going faster, and then she slowly kind of falls off. And then I only laughed because I knew she was fine in the end.
I did laugh because the way she was laying on the floor, she was laying like, you know, like a chalk outline of like a murder victim. The way she had one leg was like to the side and one arm was up. It looked like... Yeah, it looked like a fake fall to the ground.
It's like she was in a play and someone had placed her.
Completely.
It was just so funny. And then like a medic runs to the field. And then she's doing very like slow, tired weeping. At this point, I've written, this is good.
Yeah, they finally got something. But they won't let her get back on the horse because she's saying she can't quite remember the moment of falling off the horse.
For safety reasons, she can't continue. Despite the fact Tarquin does say, we'll get you another horse. Oh, what a roller coaster. She gets a hug with bug-eyed Cheryl. She does. And then there's this random guy saying it was remarkable.
I think that was James Morrison.
Okay,
you
great.
Can ride on broken
chuckers.
Horses.
We'll get you another one. But the thing is, much like last week, why are there no like lower thirds?
I think the only one we get is for her cousin at the beginning.
Gina.
Gina.
And her mum, Marie? Maria?
Yes, and Marie, yes. Yeah. But we do get another underwhelming speech by Tarquin. And then a lovely little sequence where Sarah gets sprayed with champers.
And she's doing some spraying with champers. Yeah. I've written
it's
here.
It's not her first time spraying a bottle of champers at someone.
I've written here, Sarah lived for that behavior. Oh, yeah. And then she's drinking out the champagne out of one of the cups.
Oh, you know she's popped a few bottles and sprayed some champers at Callum Best on the dance floor at Mahiki.
That's so fun. And she got the other girls wet. And Cheryl's like, Sarah, you got me wet. Oh, Sarah, I just had my hair done.
Oh, Sarah, I've got to fly to LA tomorrow to film Calder shots, and now I've got to redo my hair.
Oh.
Dreams the glitter.
What a journey she's been on. She took a hairy fall.
So I wonder, not to get too granular here, but really does feel like these things are happening all at the same time. Like they filmed this show all at the same time. Do you feel like they just filmed all the different girls like popping in on the other girls at the same time?
Because
they do have the same hair and everything. Like the filming schedule for the Passions of Girls Aloud, they all seem to have 2 weeks to learn something. but they're all, do you think they filmed all four of them kind of concurrently? Because all of these interviews seem to be all overlapped and everyone's hair is kind of matching the hair from the other episodes. Like Cheryl's got the same hair, the Call the Shots hair that she had in her episode where she's on the phone to Sarah. Do you think that they just had like four teams?
No.
And they crossed it all? Because that's really complicated.
That's too, for an ITV2 show in 2007, no. No way.
So you're saying there was an 8-week filming schedule? That's way too long. And also, they said they only had 2 weeks off from the band. They didn't have 8 weeks off.
God, this must be a logistical nightmare.
I think they might have had multiple crews.
When it
tell you what you need to ask.
I'm going to ask her.
Question number one is, I want to know what about the filming schedule and how it worked.
Want to know that filming schedule. What else do we want to know? We want to know if they came up with the ideas themselves.
Yes.
Want to know just budget in general.
Yes.
We want to know if...
if Nadine ever pitched or got pitched a passion, what were the rejected Nadine passion ideas?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I seem to remember this person we're talking about said that they really had to force Nicola to do makeup.
That's so funny because it became such a real thing for her.
I'm just saying, I might have made that up in my head though, so we'll find out.
Well, it tracks with her kind of storyline of hating all of that side of everything, but then that kind of making her kind of come alive to it. So we don't often have any live musical guests in the studio, but I thought today, just to kind of play us out, I actually called in a favour.
It's the Fratellis. Fucking hell.
I can't believe the Fratellis came to your house in LA. All right, lads, they're just out by the fire pit.
There's some beer in the fridge, guys. Way! Okay, thank you for listening to The Passions of Girls Aloud from Your Rock America. Two more episodes.
Oh my God. I got too distracted by the Fratellis.
So please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Woo!
Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Go to our Instagram. You can email us at...
You're welcome, americapodcast@gmail.com.
Wait a minute. You can also phone us at...
What's the number?
612-699-2007, like the year. You're welcome.
You are right up Main Street.
Oh, you can't make me choose.
I go by Toyota. Sponsors T4.
Fuck me, Lee Ryan's 13.
I remember we couldn't remember the word for table.